Welcome to Southern Hospitality. I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
And I'm Dana Barrett.
And we have Adam with The Nook at Piedmont Park with us in the studio.
Adam, whose last name we refuse to say ourselves.
Adam, say your full name.
I feel like I'm first day of school.
Gajatterson. Adam Gajatterson.
Nicely done. I don't think we're probably not the only ones that have struggled with that.
You're not the first or the last. It's okay.
Luckily, you have a nice, easy first name, so that works.
So our friend, or my friend, Deepam Patel, who's the son of CK Patel, who we had on last week, managed to hook me up with Adam.
Sweet.
And you know me, you know, 10 a.m. is not too early to start talking about drinking. So I said, let's do it. Let's start the bar talk right here at 10 a.m.
I love it. I wish we had, you know, some cocktails. Though I would be useless the rest of the day if we did.
Right.
So
Adam, tell us how you are involved in the Nook. Were you one of the original founding partners of the restaurant?
Yeah, I'm one of the original owners.
Okay.
Still am an owner. And I sort of helped manage the project literally from day one. When we took over the space, it had been an English pub for about 15, 20 years.
Okay.
And it was in rough shape.
Wow.
Rough shape. So,
well, those English,
yeah,
they
those
throw
English,
down.
They
so.
Do. Yeah, so we literally gutted the place and started over. So I was involved intimately in that in from start to finish and getting things going.
So you guys fell in love with the location because it's like...
Right on the park.
Yeah, location is true.
Yeah.
But the space required some work.
A lot of work.
To get it up
and running. It was, you know, it had been run down. And, you know, the carpets had been there for a very long time. There had been a lot of fluids of all kinds,
okay.
I think, dispersed everywhere.
Is it just me or is that word horrifying?
Yeah. So it was close to being an episode of CSI. We had to do some work in there.
Oh, boy. So when did you guys start the renovation and all of that?
We started actually doing all the hard work in late 2008.
Okay.
Because we opened March 20th, 2009.
Okay.
Yeah. So it took a good 3-4 months of serious work to redo the place.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And it's completely different. It's not an English pub now.
No, it's completely different. And it's one of the challenges that we thought about from day one is how do we give it a fresh new look and maintain the right identity? And the balance that we tried to strike was obviously we have the park there. We have people playing kickball, softball, every ball you can think of is being played around in that park.
Okay. Is it just me, but it's 10:03. We've already talked about balls and fluids.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Well,
and beer.
Yeah. It's a good thing we weren't drinking,
it's a good
right?
Day.
I know. Holy. Where is this show going?
Right. But so, you know, there's a lot of folks that come in from playing sports.
Right.
And they want to feel comfortable. You know, they can wear the clothes
right.
they're playing in.
Yeah. If you're
so
out
it needed
there
to be
playing.
Comfortable and casual, but we also realized that we have a lot of neighbors. We have a lot of business folks literally a few blocks away right in the heart of Midtown. There's tons of lawyers and consultants and everything you can think of.
Right.
So they want to come down and have happy hour or even a date night. You want to bring your girlfriend or boyfriend and have a nice night on the patio.
Yeah.
So how do you make it look in a way that appeals to everyone?
Yeah.
And that was the challenge. So,
right. It's okay to come in your shorts and t-shirt or in a suit and tie.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was what we were striving for. And I feel very, very good about where we ended up. I think it has a really nice balance.
And was there any issue communicating that it's not the same old place that it used to be to people that were sort of like, ugh, we've been in there. It was gross. You know what I mean? Beforehand.
There was a huge issue, actually. One of the biggest issues, to my surprise, was some of our neighbors, fortunately not a lot of them, but there was a couple of them that had some bad experiences with the prior business because it got a little bit out of hand and things got crazy in there sometimes. And they were concerned about, you know, what kind of place are you opening here? Is it going to be the exact same thing? As well as other folks who just generally were like, that place is pretty run down. You know, what are you guys going to be doing in there? So it was really important for us to make a clean start and also have a new name, new menu. I mean, we literally started from scratch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk food.
Yes.
What's on the menu?
We have actually a little bit of everything. One of the big challenges for us, and it's part of the reason why we're called the Nook, is that we are tiny. A lot of people don't realize and never would know, we have probably one of the smallest kitchens in the city, literally.
Really?
It's barely the size of this room.
Wow.
And so how do you produce really good food with a variety of menu for everyone who is a monster rugby player to a couple girls who are having girls' night out on a Wednesday drinking wine? How do you create a menu that both of those people want?
Right.
And then produce it out of a really tiny kitchen.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. But what we came up with...
I applaud the ambition here of owners.
It was an adventure. But we've managed to come up with, I think, a really cool menu because we have something for everyone, but we also try to put our stamp on it, have a little bit of a twist. So as an example, pretty staple bar food would be chicken wings. So, but we didn't just do your standard, like, you know, frozen chicken wings and throw some sauce on it and that's it. We said, how can we make this amazing, as good as we can possibly do for what we have? So, you know, we have fresh chicken all the time. We actually smoke our chicken wings. We have a little smokehouse in the back. And then we fry them. And then we have about five or six sauces that are all made from scratch that are amazing. And they're really good. And so we're not like, you know, we're not like a chicken wing place, but our wings are amazing.
All right, it's 10:07 and my mouth is watering and I want some chicken wings.
There you go. But so we said, all right, we need bar food. That's an obvious
one.
We need burgers. We got to have good burgers. People love that. But we also need some really good salads, some lighter fare. We need some classic entrees that are diverse. You know, we need some steak, we need some fish, some chicken. So we just started with, what do people like to eat when they're a bar? How can we make that better and put our spin on it and then still have enough variety for every walk of life that comes in? Because one of the amazing things about the Nook is the diversity. I mean, we have literally every walk of life, from people living in Midtown to tourists to sports people to celebrities. I mean, we've had, you know, folks staying at the W who are filming in Atlanta come through and hang out, which is pretty fun. So trying to appeal to all those people on one menu is a little bit crazy. I actually brought a to-go menu if you want to.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Let's take a look
place
at that.
Place our order.
That's right, exactly.
Well, I want to ask about the, I don't know if I'm going to say it right.
Famous tachos.
Tachos.
So that was, that's a pretty interesting story. So the tachos are essentially nachos, but made with tater tots.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that
I
cool?
Hate you so much.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And so the way that came about was, early on, before the restaurant even was close to opening, we were talking about food and fun stuff. And I remember someone mentioning that they had gone to a wedding and there was a mashed potato bar at a wedding.
Yeah,
and
I've heard about that.
I was like, what the heck is that? And they said, no, it's like, it was kind of cool. There's martini glasses with mashed potatoes and all like 500 toppings and you go and did it. I'm like, that sounds pretty neat. So that kind of always stuck with me. And when we were opening the Nook, we said, all right, storage. Like, are we even going to be able to have multiple types of things? Like, can we have French fries and tater tots? Is there even going to be room in our little freezer for that? So we weren't sure. So we decided, well, we're just going to do tots, no fries at all.
Okay.
And we're going to be different and let's make the best tots in Atlanta. So then the next step was, all right, well, how can we have some fun with this? And one of the really cool things that we do in our smokehouse is we smoke our own pork and we have a Coca-Cola barbecue sauce. So we have a pulled pork sandwich.
Oh, my God.
That sounds awesome.
I'm killing you guys.
You are killing me. Killing me. Everything you say sounds better than the next thing.
Like, so I said, well, why don't we take some of that pulled pork and put it on the tater tots.
Throw it on the tots.
Put a little melted cheese, a little jalapeno, and you got redneck tachos. Done.
Redneck tachos. I love it.
So then it just spiraled from there. And we said, what other crazy stuff can we put on there?
Like different varieties of tachos.
Yeah,
the buffalo tachos, loaded potato.
Wow. Yeah.
So it's good, and believe it or not, it's really, we become famous for it. I never thought it would get that far. It was just something for fun and something different, but people literally come in just for that. I said, we're here for your tachos. Let's do it.
I think what I'm going to have to do is, I don't live that far away, but I think from there, I think what I'm going to have to do is like, bring in a water bottle and a towel and leave it there and like run about like 8 or 10 miles, maybe 12, and then come in, like dry off and eat the tachos.
See?
And then run another 8 or 10 miles and go home.
Yeah,
just saying.
I mean, if you're out playing softball in the park, you deserve a good snack after.
Oh my goodness.
I got a couple of gift cards for you guys too. So
yay. Very exciting.
I mean, that the tachos are just the beginning.
You should see on the website too, there's like a close up picture of them. Oh my God, I'm dying. I'm dying right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've gone to heaven, tacho heaven.
We just for fun, because we have our anniversary each spring, and we try and do some fun things with that, including, well, we'll talk about the fishbowl you've probably even heard about the fishbowl drinks. They're pretty.
Well, the first thing on the website, on the main screen, it's drinks.
Yeah.
So Elizabeth's favorite thing,
right.
You know, it's like I went to thenookatlanta.com, right? Did I get the website right? And it's just a list of all these yummy sounding drinks.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And so one of the things that we do each anniversary is come up with a lot of new drinks, but we also do a new tacho each year as well. And, you know, we rotate them off. And so we came up with a new one this year, but also something called the Macho Tacho, which is 5 tachos on a platter.
Oh, my God.
And it's great, you know, if you're with a big group and you want to share. But, you know, kind of a man versus food thing. We said, let's see who can actually eat this thing.
Oh, my gosh.
So we had a competition, and no one's eaten 100% of it yet. But someone's gotten through about 4.5 pounds in an hour, which is pretty
so
strong.
So there
work.
You go, you big eaters.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Stop by for the Nook Challenge.
Right. One of my best friends, her son is a 6'4"-ish college baseball player, and he loves that whole concept of going around town to where they have the biggest pizza and
right.
the big, and he's, you know, come to the Vortex and had the giant, you know, whatever. Yeah. So I'll have to bring him over and see if he can do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see.
Yeah.
If he can
conquer
do it.
The tachos.
Yeah, that's right. Conquer the tachos.
Or if you're feeling a little bit more sophisticated, you could have a New York strip.
I mean,
really a full variety from, like you're saying, the bar food all the way.
Yeah. I mean, we even, you know, one of the big changes we made too is we took some of our more popular items, and we thought about what the consumer was asking for. They don't necessarily want a full thing of tachos or 10 wings. They may be there just having a snack, you know, between meetings or whatever. So we halved some of the portions. So we have, we call it Nook Nibbles. And so you can do a half order of tachos or a half order of wings, half order of some other things, which is great. So I'm sure if
nice.
You
there
guys...
you go, Dana. You don't even have to do the second run.
Right.
Just okay.
Get
just
the
half first size run.
Portion
yeah.
And
the funniest thing is, I had a buddy of mine that was there one day, and he ordered a half order of one of the tachos, and then literally 5 minutes later, he ordered another half.
Oh, that's
I'm
hysterical.
Like, really? You're crazy.
Well, also,
that's pretty good. I could do that again.
There's I'm noticing now you also do brunch and you have breakfast tachos.
Yes.
You troublemaker.
We had to. Yeah. Yeah. No, brunch is actually, believe it or not, Sunday is probably our busiest day.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
It's amazing in there because we'd have a really good brunch.
Yeah.
Brace yourselves. $2 mimosas.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And we have what I think may be the greatest Bloody Mary that's ever been conceived.
That's a bold statement, Adam.
I know. Get ready.
You really going
to
make that statement right here on Southern
yeah.
Hospitality?
Yeah. This is where it's happening. It's so we actually launched it about 3 or 4 months ago, and it's called the Bloody Best. And it's literally in a glass about this big. It's about 32 ounces.
Wow.
This is a big glass for
yeah.
those of you not in the studio.
It's 32 ounces. And so
it's like a big gulp.
The Bloody Mary alone is delicious. But
yeah.
really what we said was, how can we make this Nook style? How can we kick it up a notch? And what we decided was, we're going to add a bunch of stuff to it. So along the rim of the glass, there's a hard-boiled egg.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a couple pieces of toast. There's a skewer with steak and tater tots.
Oh, my goodness. I was going to ask if it had tater tots involved.
Yeah.
And of course it does.
Another skewer with blue cheese stuffed olives and some pepperoncinis. And then just to top it off, there's an actual straw that's made out of beef.
How is that even possible?
I'm not even kidding. I didn't think it was possible either. I read about it about a year
straw?
Ago. Yeah. And I said, somehow,
we're
I'm going to
use
that somehow. And it's, the best way I can describe it is, imagine a Slim Jim that's been hollowed out, but tastes significantly
better. Than that.
Better. Yeah, it's high quality. It's like 100% beef. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I don't even know what to say about that one.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
really fascinating.
So if you've had a rough night, that'll help you get through the next morning.
That's like hair of somebody else's dog. I don't know what that is.
It's a hair of a werewolf, I think.
Yeah, that's like out of control. You're just starting all over again. That is not even like getting over anything. Yeah. That's just starting over.
Yeah.
New drunk.
Adam, how often are you hanging out at the Nook? What's your level of involvement now that, you know, things are like, you've got the plan in motion. The
right.
bar's what, like 3 years old
yeah,
now?
We're just into our fourth year. So when we first started, I was there almost every, I was there pretty much every day. I was working
think.
As a manager full time, you know, and the hours you can imagine opening a restaurant are insane.
Right,
so,
morning, noon, and night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the first close to a year, I was there almost all the time. And then gradually as we got our management staff in place, I'm there not every day at all. I'm there usually on nights, a few nights a week, usually almost every Sunday I'm there because it's a fun day. A lot of my friends come out and we hang out in the patio, and Sunday fun day, as they say.
Aww.
Yeah. So, but I do a lot of the more of the marketing and promotion side, which I can do at home, which is nice. So, because I actually practice law part time as well.
Oh my God.
I'm a lawyer by trade. So,
it's one of those Midtown lawyers.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Well, one of those.
One of those guys. Yeah. So,
just in your spare time, you practice a little bit of law.
Yeah. Do you have
any hobbies besides drinking?
Right. It's a pretty hectic schedule, but I didn't want to lose sort of that whole legal background,
sure.
You know, that I'd worked on for quite a while. So I do that about 25, 30 hours a week, and then pretty much the rest of my time is Nook related in some form or fashion.
I think that's really interesting. I think a lot of people are doing more interesting careers like that now, where it's not 40 hours on one thing, it's split, and still really successful. I mean, I think people in the past thought of that as like makeshift. But I think a lot of people are crafting their careers that way now, don't you?
I think so, too.
It gives you that variety that you would. I mean, yeah, because if you're a full-time lawyer,
yeah,
it'd be a little
hours,
dry.
That's when you kind of burn out. But if you're able to mix it up with
I think the economy, you know, the realities of the economy. I have a lot of friends that have done really interesting, diverse, multiple things in their life. You know, because when we opened the Nook, it was literally right when the economy crashed.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Like,
in the beginning.
Good timing.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And I'm like, is this really happening right now? The hardest business possibly in the world, and
the worst possible
at the hardest
right.
time.
Right.
So
luckily, the best possible location.
Exactly.
So.
Location cures a lot of ills. There's no doubt about that. But the first year was very tough. So once we got over the hump, I felt like it was okay to go back and still have a little bit of the law thing going, because there's a lot of great value to that. Just running any business, having that background and resources. So that's good.
Right.
But I guess I'm an entrepreneur at heart, so I always have some kind of crazy scheme brewing. So it's fun, though. It's good to be able to do different things.
So with that comment, I have to ask if you're thinking about more restaurants or about, you know, more Nooks, other places, or what's the long-term business plan?
Well, we've talked about that. I'm always very nervous. I've seen a lot of other businesses in other industries that try and expand too quickly.
Totally.
When they're not ready or don't have the right management staff or the right training systems in place. So, of course, you always talk about that. But I've seen disasters.
Oh, yeah.
Really great places expand too quickly and they can't replicate it.
You end up cannibalizing the original.
Yeah. And I started reading an interesting book about the guys that opened the Carnegie Deli in New York.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, crazy successful, the best deli in the world, right? So every time someone's like, why don't you open one here? And they did. They opened one, I think, in Virginia, and it bombed.
Yeah.
And they're like, done. We're staying where we are.
That's it.
Exactly.
So, super successful.
Yeah. So it never closed the door to that, but I don't think we're ready to seriously talk about that yet. So that we're going to wait and see what happens. And I've got some other little things I'm thinking about that are not restaurants per se, but in that industry, possibly some a website app that is tailored to the hospitality industry. So I'm thinking about that. That's just getting going.
Gotcha.
So,
and people can also get the tachos sent to them.
Speaking of the web.
Yeah. Yeah, the interwebs.
So
yeah.
Speaking of the interwebs.
Yeah, it's true. You can technically order them online on our website. But actually, you know, I'll plug my good friend Todd Miller. He owns Zifty.com, which is a great service.
Oh, yeah.
You can get
you
food
see
from
Zifty
restaurants.
Car all over the place.
So we should have Zifty on here.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah. I'll hook you up with Todd. He's a great guy, and his company is great, and we do a lot of business with them.
Yeah.
So it was actually, for me, I was like, is Atlanta ready for the fact they can get tachos delivered to their door now? Like, this is amazing. So you can literally go on Zifty.com and order, 90% of our menu right off there and have it delivered. So it's pretty cool.
I'm going to have to try that. I've used Zifty a few times.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
It's hard when you live. I was a suburbs girl for a long time, but I moved into Midtown about 2 years ago, and I have a hard time ordering anything on the phone or online now because I feel so lame. It's right outside my door. Get your lazy butt up, walk over there and get it, or run 8 miles and go get it.
Right.
But I mean,
right.
So I do use it occasionally when I'm really feeling lazy, but I try to walk.
Yeah.
It's a little better for you.
You live in Midtown now?
I do.
Which area?
Like between 7th and 8th on Peachtree. Everyone come on over.
Yeah. I live at 7th and
Peachtree. We're all going to hang out.
We're like neighbors. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. So it's good for me because I can walk to the Nook.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah. So. I was going to ask you that because when you're spending that much time somewhere, it's good to be as close as you can be.
Yeah. You know, sometimes if I'm really busy doing other things and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to make it to the gym today or whatever, I'm like, oh, I'll walk to and from the Nook. That'll count.
Right.
Sure. Why not?
Why not?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I want to know about the bocce ball madness, because I see signs for bocce ball all over bars all over the city. And you guys are like the official drinking hole for the people that play at Piedmont Park.
That's right. Yeah. Bocce has blown up. I think people are looking for sports that they can hold a drink in one hand and not sweat too much.
Love it.
That is probably the best one you can think of.
Kind of like that frat boy.
Exactly.
Let's play horseshoes.
Right.
Yeah.
The guy
who really started it and started pushing in Atlanta has done a good job, and he's got leagues, you know, everywhere. And so I've known him for a little while, and there's a natural synergy. We're
totally
right there. So I, you know, we talked about it and said, you know, the Nook can be the official spot for the bocce ball league for Piedmont Park. So whenever they're in season, Tuesday nights is amazing. Like, you'd think a Tuesday night's pretty boring, you know, slow, but if you come in Tuesday around 8 o'clock when bocce's going, you're gonna have a good time. It's like a Saturday night in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I don't even know anything about this game. Do you need any skills to do it?
It involves balls. That's all I can tell you.
We're back to balls again.
Yeah.
All right.
So, no, it's like, it's kind of like shuffleboard with rolling balls,
right,
like on the grass.
Like roll the ball.
Yeah. It's an like, Italian thing.
Yeah. I guess I've seen.
Like croquet,
I've seen it.
But
yeah.
Without the mallet.
Oh.
Maybe.
Yeah. You just roll them. It's almost like you're bowling on the grass, kind of.
And you try and hit the other balls.
Yeah. Knock them out.
This would be a good time to have video in here. I'm just saying. Because you two trying to demonstrate what bocce ball is awesome.
I know. It looks like I'm having a seizure at the table. It's like, no.
I'm going to have to try it. I think I might have to try it like in the privacy of my living room or something first, though, before I make a fool out of myself outside.
Yeah. So it's neat because we, you know, obviously we love all the sports teams, and kickball is huge. We have a lot of kickball teams that come in before and after their games, softball. So all the sports folks, even on Monday nights, there's even a volleyball league now. So they come in and after some of their games, and we love those guys. We have a good time and always try and take care of them.
Yeah. Well, you have to right there where you're sort of in the middle of Midtown sports world over there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And hours, you guys are open long hours. So when you say you were there a lot, you weren't kidding.
Yeah. It's, you know, one of the things we really thought about was, you know, when are you going to be open? Are we even going to be open for lunch? You know, there's a lot of very successful restaurants that don't do lunch.
Yeah.
But they're much higher end establishments and they can make sense for them.
Right.
For us, we felt like we needed to be open pretty much 7 days a week, you know, lunch and dinner and brunch on weekends to cater to the neighbors or even the business folks that want to come down and have a nice lunch on the patio. And it's an interesting thing. You talk about marketing and the business. You know, a lot of the lawyers and consultants and folks that work right at Midtown around 14th and Peachtree, there are a number of dining options there, including a little food court in the Colony Square area.
Right.
So the challenge for us has been, well, you've got an hour for lunch and you could walk, you know, 30 feet into a food court, or you can walk an extra 4 or 5 minutes down to the park. Why is someone going to do that? So for us, we came up with two things. First of all, well, our location's amazing. Why have lunch in a food court when you can be watching the patio on a beautiful, you know, watching the park?
Right. What a great way to break up your work.
But then we said, all right, let's go the extra step. And we actually, every single day during the week, we have a $5 lunch special.
Sweet.
That's not like
that is
a piece of celery
for lunch.
Yeah. Like,
you can't get
no
lunch in the food
like,
court
I
for
honestly,
$5.
I don't know where you're going to find a better quality lunch for the same price anywhere in Atlanta.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing. So today we've got like a smoked chicken salad wrap with tater tots for literally $5. It's amazing. So
okay, I'm hungry. Let's go. Let's everyone. We'll meet you there. We'll meet you at the Nook.
So concentrating on lunch and things like that. But we also realize we need to be open late on weekends because a lot of folks – you'd be amazed how many people come in at like 2 a.m. on a Saturday because maybe they went and did the club thing. They went to all the clubs on Crescent or Midtown or wherever.
They just want
to
chill for
yeah,
one
and
or
now they're coming back
drinks.
Home and they're like, all right, let's just go and have, you know, a nightcap and just relax and then walk home. So it's been interesting to see why people come for different reasons.
Yeah.
And we try and stay open as long as possible and tailor to the customer.
It's interesting because I know one of the struggles sometimes is to find some place that's open and still serving food late. Like if you come out of even just going to the Fox last night, granted it was a Tuesday night, but you know, you're walking back and all the restaurants are closed on a Tuesday night, you know, 10, 8, it was 10 PM, I guess. And everything is, and a lot of places, even they post their hours till 10, but because it's a Tuesday and they're kind of slow, they close at 9:30 or whatever. And you're like, but I just wanted, I need a snack and there's nothing.
Right.
So it's good to know that you guys are open late.
Yeah. We keep our kitchen open at least an hour before we close.
Right.
And, but you know, a lot of restaurants, one of your biggest cost centers is your kitchen. Because unlike a waiter or server who's minimum wage plus tips, you're paying a pretty high hourly wage for your cooks and your chefs and things like that.
To stand around.
So you have to really be committed to wanting to serve your community and serve the folks that you know are going to come in. And so you have to be consistent and build that up so people know, oh, I can always go to the Nook and get something to eat pretty late.
You know, it's interesting too. I was out of town. I know I've talked about this trip a billion times now, but I was out of town over July 4th weekend and we went to Amelia Island. And I'm so spoiled by Atlanta where generally speaking, you can walk into a restaurant any time of day, like 4 PM and they're open and you can get served. In the little town that's part of Amelia Island, I can't think of what it's called, there's lunch and there's dinner and they're closed in between. Like we went early. We wanted to eat in the middle of the day, just the way our day worked out with being on the beach and whatever. So it was 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
We wanted something to eat and we could not find anything. I was so irritated with the, I was so irritated with the concierge at the hotel for not telling us that.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, there's all kinds of great restaurants down here. Just go over there. And we got there and everything was like closed.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really frustrating. It was really hot outside too. So we were walking up and down, like sweating our little fannies off, you know,
you're dying.
Right. Yeah. But here it's just such a different world.
I'm a big fan of eating off hours. Cause
it's quieter.
Where, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Late lunch, early dinner.
Yeah. Even sometimes
late,
if you go on vacation, like to the beach or something, things will be done at like 9 o'clock. I'm
yeah.
like, really?
Like it's a vacation spot.
Like,
come on.
Is this for 65-year-olds? Like people like to eat late. So.
I know. It's very strange.
Just so cool and happening here in our 24/7 city.
Well, when you're talking also about the trend of sort of having or trying to do something for everyone, I'm calling it a trend, but I think, you know, as a diner, as a consumer of restaurants, it's sort of interesting now when you look at a place, you have to almost decide, can I walk in there in my shorts or do I need to, or is this too fancy? Like, but for the most part, I feel like there's a lot more options now for quote unquote everybody.
Yeah. And another interesting trend is it seems like a lot of places are really trying to pick one type of food product and make that their niche.
Yeah.
And you know, like the burgers or hot dogs.
Right. So you see me like doing a giant eye roll burgers. Like there's how many places in Midtown, right?
There's
like 17 million burger places now.
So the challenge for us has always been, well, we're not just going to be one thing. The challenge has been, can we do the best we can in each category and really do well? And one of the things I'm really proud of is, and I'm going to plug a really cool charity event, is called Battle of the Burgers.
Yeah.
It benefits a charity called Embraced, and they help raise money for people that have lost limbs and need like crutches and things like that.
Wow.
And my friend Lauren started it like 2 or 3 years ago, and literally every fall she does something called the Battle of the Burgers. And it's really cool. And it's all like the best burger restaurants in Atlanta get together for a showdown. And, you know, people vote on who's the best one, and the judges vote as well. And we actually, there's different categories, but we've won every year that it's been on, which is amazing because we're not like
a burger
joint. But, you know, the first year we're kind of known for stuffed burgers. So the first year, it's on there.
Looking at
there was a shrimp and grit stuffed burger.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
you're killing me.
And it's better than what even you think. So
that sounds crazy.
First year, we were like the people's choice for best burger, and then last year got out of control. We did something called the Southern Comfort Burger. So it's a burger stuffed with bacon, mac and cheese.
Oh my god!
And then topped with more cheese, and then a peach Southern Comfort barbecue sauce.
And a heart monitor?
Yeah.
Just wondering.
Defibrillator in the back and just run around.
So, but I think you're right. I mean, the trends are, like, also as a consumer, it's the same thing when, you know, like, one year there'll be 5 pirate movies or something all at the same time.
Right.
You're like, really? What was Hollywood thinking?
Exactly.
How many pirate movies does one person need?
Like, I need another vampire movie. I really do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it is interesting when these food trends happen. You know, for a long time it was sushi everywhere. Yep. Sushi. And then it not that people don't still love sushi, but the big trend of it sort of died down. And so a lot of places closed.
Yeah.
And it's going to have to be the same thing with the burger thing. Like, how many different burgers? It's a burger at the end of the day. Like, yes, there are good ones and whatever, but come on.
Yeah. It's amazing.
I find it annoying in our neighborhood. Because I'm like, really? First of all, also, we just had, I know in our neighborhood now, there's like 5 Mexican restaurants all of a sudden, like within a 3-block radius. Like, really? Could we have some sushi back, please?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's crazy. And it's a good point. I mean, there's not a lot of amazing sushi places anymore.
No.
You know, and there's definitely seems to be someone is deciding, all right, this is the new hot thing.
Right.
And we're just going to
jump on
it and run it for 2 years and see what happens.
But I think that's one of the cool things about what you guys are doing, because you're not a burger place or a wings place or a whatever. I mean, in a way, you're a place about the place that you are. But you have, I mean, more staying power, I think, that way, because when the trend dies, you're still there and you can still change your menu and reinvent things and put new things out, and you're not the Nook Burger, you know,
right.
Which I think is great. And I also think there's something about the Nook to me that seems like it's been there forever, which I think is really good. I like when things, because people don't really know, they don't go Google it and do the history and go like, oh, this opened in 2008 or whatever. They go, that place looks like it's been there forever, and it's got people on the porch every time I drive by, and so I want to go there.
Yeah,
you know,
that was really a testament to the first year or two. We did a lot of what I'd call guerrilla marketing and utilizing Facebook and on social media a lot, Twitter. I mean, we are very active on there, and I think it really helps. And
well, I think, weren't you guys out at like the Midtown Arts Festival 1 year, 2 years ago, or something?
Yeah,
because I feel like that's the first time I heard about you, because I was walking by and you guys had a table.
That's exactly right.
And you gave me something like tilapia or something, I feel like, and it was delicious. And I was like, oh, I got to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. So. No, it's, you know, one of the hard parts, of course, about the restaurant industry is getting your name out there. Atlanta is blessed and cursed with so many places.
Yeah.
And some of them are amazing and some of them are complete garbage, but it's hard for the consumer to have the time or the resources necessarily to know what's great or not great. And there's different ranking systems and things out there, but at the end of the day, you don't really know if a place is good or not until you've been there.
Yeah.
And so the challenge for us has always been, how do we brand ourselves as a cool neighborhood tavern? And, you know, so we've had a lot of interesting events that we do. I have a great network of friends and people that I know and friends of friends. And so, you know, we've done some really fun, just cool events to try and make ourselves stand out. I mean, every winter we do something called the Pajama Jam, and everyone can wear their pajamas, however you define pajamas.
Oh boy!
And show up and just have a big party and have fun and things like that.
That can always be a little dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like a little danger.
You are not allowed to attend that event, Elizabeth.
So yeah, so you know, it's interesting though, and we've tried to really you know, get in there. I mean, we'll go out into the park and hand out things.
Yeah.
And do everything we can to try and get our name out there. And it's always a challenge.
And keep it out there.
And keep it out there.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the events and all that. The more stuff you do to get buzz, the
and
better.
It's, and it's tough, because if you're not careful, you know, you can have 10 people every week come in saying, why don't you advertise in this or advertise on that?
Very difficult.
And that could be tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
So you really have to balance where you're getting your most bang for your buck.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sure you've got a good staple of regulars that are there, like, every Wednesday night or every Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it's amazing. We have some folks that come in almost every single day. And,
wow.
And it's great.
They're neighbors.
They're neighbor folks. Yeah. Or we've had, you know, literally last week I was in there and a softball team has been coming there since almost the day we opened.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday night. And I was there Tuesday hanging out and I saw them and I said, hey guys, great to see you again. You know, bought them a round of shots. And it's just really neat to be able to see the same folks coming in. It means we're doing something right. And of course, you know, you always make mistakes and you're always tweaking things, but trying to give that good experience is a challenge. And I don't think people realize how hard that is, because anytime you have food and anytime you have folks, you know, running around, there's always opportunities for disaster.
Oh, so yeah.
Trying to be consistent is the challenge.
Well, I think you also made an interesting point. I know Bob Amick, I think when he was here, talked about the fact that in Atlanta, food is entertainment, because we don't have a beach and we don't have water. Like, we're sort of just, this is all we do
climb
here.
Climb up Stone Mountain in an hour, and then what are you going to do?
And you're going to eat something, because, like, that's all that's like our form of entertainment. And there is so much to choose from. And it is really, I think, a huge challenge for restaurants to differentiate themselves
And the fun factor to me is the biggest thing, because I go to some places that have amazing food and really good staff, but it's kind of boring.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like I don't expect a show necessarily from the restaurant, but I want the food and the drinks and other things to have some personality to it.
Well, there's a you know, it's a friend of mine just went, and this is no competition, so no worries, but like way out in the burbs, walked into an Italian restaurant. And I don't even remember the name, so I can't even give them a plug. But the one thing she said was, we felt right at home. Like, they made us feel so welcome. It was a really small place. It felt like the people that worked there and owned it were, you know, cared about it. And there were a lot of regulars there and everybody, but it was not closed. It was not clicky. It was sort of like they walked in and felt like they were in a family. And I know I loved that after living in the same neighborhood for a long time. Out in the burbs, there were restaurants I would go to and they knew me.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you're saying the same thing. You're walking in and seeing a softball team and you know who they are.
Exactly.
And people love that, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, there's a lot of regulars that'll walk up and the bartenders got their drink there moments before they get to the bar.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
a gift.
That's the point, is you really got to take care of people because, you know, I know as a consumer myself, I go to some places and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. The service was so horrible.
Oh,
here.
My God. I know.
How do you expect people to come back? And then I'm like, oh, why can't, you know, why is this so difficult? But then I know when I flip the table, there are times where things are happening in the background that no one knows about and your food may be an extra 5 minutes late or someone just dropped it by accident and it's going to be 10 minutes late. But you never know that because you get it out there as soon as you can and you're like, wow, okay. It's tough. Sometimes
the keg runs dry
yeah,
and you gotta change it and it takes a little time.
So you do the best you can, but the point is you have to be committed to trying and that's what we try and do there is we try and make sure everyone, you know, has a great time and if you're a regular, we take care of you and remember your name and do things like that.
And I'm saying too, like there used to be a breakfast place out in the burbs where I lived that's closed unfortunately since then, but it was there for many, many, many years. And it wasn't even great food, to be honest. It was okay food, but it was inexpensive and the staff was great. They knew us by name. They knew what we ordered. They knew how we liked it. You know, if things were running late, they came out and told us and they brought us some extra biscuits or whatever. And so I went just because I loved being there.
Yeah.
So if you can get all that and great food, bonus.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, Adam, you talked about building the management team. What do you look for in people when you're looking to hire to make sure that everybody is on that same page in terms of the culture and the experience that you want people to have?
That's a great question. I'll preface my comments by saying I'm looking for an assistant manager right now, if anyone's listening.
There you go.
But that may be one of the most difficult things in a very general sense is just staffing and employees in general,
exactly.
Of course. But from a management team, it's interesting because we've had, you know, a different number of managers through the years. And the challenge is to find someone who has the right skill set, but also the right personality for the spot.
Right.
Because there
so
are
much of it. Is
exactly.
Like human interaction.
Exactly. Right. Because there are some folks that may have a great resume, but they are coming from a totally different type of concept and it doesn't translate well. So, you know, if you're showing up to the Nook wearing a 3-piece suit and a tie because you used to work at, you know, the Ritz-Carlton in New York, it's going to be weird when the kickball guys come in having drank all day and they're like,
top hat off.
Yeah, they're like, you know, dropping Jaeger shots on your shoes. It's like, what's going on here? This is not good. So, but definitely finding someone who has, you know, the right experience level for the type of concept is very important. You know, one of the challenges we have is we can go from 0 to 60 in literally 15 minutes. I mean, we can be on a Tuesday night with 20 people hanging out and then
packed.
All of Bocce shows up, 100 people in 20 minutes, and it's game on. You're completely crushed. You're slammed. Every single food order is going in at the same time, and you have a kitchen the size of this table trying to produce all this food. That is tough, and it's stressful, and so you have to be able to handle stress and be used to dealing with that sort of thing. So there's a lot of different attributes, but the key things are great personality, high energy, very detail-oriented. The biggest thing that I always see as problems anywhere, including the Nook, is making sure all the little things are taken care of, making sure every light bulb is the right one, making sure all the cobwebs are gone, all those little things.
Right.
You have to be very conscientious and really take your time and go through that. So there's a lot of qualifications for it, but definitely, you know, the right experience level, personality, and being able to really pay attention to details are critical.
Well, it sounds like the team that you've got embodies a lot of those qualities, and that's why it has become this really fun, great hangout for all these regulars.
Yeah, our team right now is amazing, and we have just one more position to fill, and then I feel like we have sort of the dream team, and then you know, it'll be great. So
we might as well let people know, if they want to get in touch with you about the job, how do they do that?
Yeah, I tell you what, the easiest thing is they can
come by and have a
bite to
drink and check.
Yeah,
out
I'll just give them my email.
Sure,
that's fine.
Do it.
They actually, I'll just give them the restaurant email is the easiest one probably. NookAtlanta@gmail.com.
Okay. Yeah. NookAtlanta@gmail.com. That's easy enough.
Make sure they put in their resume and we'll take a look at it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll find somebody great. And you should, if you are hearing this on about this job, you should tell Adam that you heard it on Southern Hospitality Business Radio X. He'll give you more money.
Free tachos for you guys.
He'll give you a better salary if you tell him. Or maybe not.
So what have we got coming up this week? Or I know that on the website there's a bunch of events. It still looks like there's always something going
on. Yeah, there's always something going on. We kind of have a mixture of two types of events that we always do. We have certain things that we've built ourselves that we do almost every day of the week consistently. So, for example, every Wednesday we have a nice selection of various wines that are half price.
There you go. Wine.
Yeah.
I do love my wine.
Absolutely. And we do trivia every Wednesday night at 8:30. So we have a great crew that comes in to play trivia, or we have a lot of folks that come in that are catching up with a friend or whatever and enjoying some discounted wine. Why not?
Why not?
So Thursdays, we do actually a different stuffed burger every single Thursday. Yeah, so the chef goes crazy. Like, he did a 4-cheese lasagna one time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
I can't even imagine what some of those must taste like.
It's good. It's a good time.
Like a party in your mouth.
That's right.
so that, and then, you know, we have a lot of other special events that we'll do. But, of course, a big thing for us is the park. And
right.
We're always gearing up for monster park events. So
sure.
I think not this weekend, but next weekend there's an arts festival in Piedmont Park,
yeah,
which looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw the signs for that, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. We'll have probably a lot of folks that come in for that. And I can't tell you how excited I am for Music Midtown. Holy cow.
Yeah, you're going to be slammed. You better staff up.
It's going to be crazy in there. So that's going to be fun.
And then what are the dates of that?
September 21st, that weekend.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And then Battle of the Burgers is coming up. So we're actually preparing. Literally yesterday, we were tasting some burger ideas.
For the battle.
So we can get ready for the battle. So I think that's September 8th, the Saturday. So we're trying to see if we can three-peat this year, which would be
good.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, very
and
cool.
Midtown Restaurant Week is the beginning of September. We've been talking. We just finished up Downtown Restaurant Week down here.
Yeah.
We got to check out all our favorite downtown restaurants.
Right. Now that's we can true. Move up the street a little bit.
Exactly.
And you can go to your
Love
hood,
restaurant.
Which is
that's right.
Great. Yeah.
That's right.
No, awesome. there's always something going on either in Midtown or the park, or we're always trying to come up with our own kind of fun things. Like, we've been doing a promo for the Olympics. We have an entire cocktail list that is inspired by the Olympics or the USA. So for example, there's some guys in town, really cool guys. They like drinking. They said, let's make whiskey. And they did. So it's called American Spirit Whiskey. They live in Buckhead, and it's cool. It's a clear whiskey. They distill it using ultrasound waves, which is insane. And it is amazingly smooth. So we created a cocktail with that.
We should have them on too. That sounds fun.
Yeah. And then there's some other new guys in town.
Nothing like whiskey at
10 a.m. Right.
Yeah. Some other really good guys that a guy I know, friend of mine, he's got a new whole line of liquor called High Liquors. And it's super high-end premium liquors. There's a vodka, a rum, and a whiskey and whatever. So we said, all right, well, you know, let's do a flight of those. And so you can do a sample of each one, which is kind of cool. So just for fun, you know, we have all these cool cocktails that we came up with.
That's great.
Just
Lots
for the
of
Olympics.
Different stuff.
Yeah.
Not just your standard.
Yeah. So, you know, we really try. I mean, I honestly want to let people come in and always have something new or different, a different drink or a special or some kind of crazy promo. And we're always giving away tickets for things and stuff. So it's fun.
It's awesome. So everybody should start following The Nook on Twitter, Nook Atlanta.
Yeah, and friend us.
I already just did.
You just did? All right. You're in. And the website again is nookatlanta.com?
Nookatlanta.com.
Okay.
Yeah, thenookatlanta.com.
And of course, you can just walk over there or drive over there or go hang out.
Yeah, right on the 13th and Piedmont right there.
That's right. Can't miss it.
Because we still have a little bit more of summer left to enjoy the park.
Yeah, and
actually
outside. It's even great in the fall because when it gets a little bit cooler.
It's actually better.
Patio, it's gorgeous out there. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's been such a treat having you on, Adam.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been great.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
We will see you at the Nook sometime soon.
That's
right.
This
is Elizabeth Gordon.
And Dana Barrett.
For Southern Hospitality, and we'll talk to you next week.